Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, just 27 minutes, essentially, of some information. No motivation, no solicitations, nothing like that, but information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, if in fact you're even interested. And if you are, then you can orient and adjust the plan once I give you the information. It's up to you, because God gave you a free will. God did not make you a robot. He gave you two ends. That's right, two different ends. One of them you sit on and one of them you think with. And success in your life will depend on which one of those ends you use. You've heard the phrase, heads you win, tails you lose. Well, that's the way it goes. That's why the Bible tells you in 2 Peter 3:18, you are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is a main verb, grow. That's an imperative command in God's Word. Nobody ever grew up spiritually by singing songs. It only comes through studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. The whole idea of this radio show is to seek out and find those of you that are interested in growing. Those of you that recognize you're not where you need to be spiritually in your life. Maybe you're already a believer. You've already accepted Christ as your Savior, but you're not growing, and you know it. You must get under a well-qualified pastor that can teach you the Bible so you can grow, feed on the Word of God every day. And I hope that we can encourage you to do that. I want to remind you of our printed material that is available through our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. And there you will find some of our latest books called, like, for example, Practicing Your Christianity, A Crash Course in Christianity. You'll find Bible Promises and Principles available to you. You'll find transcripts from every year back all the way through 2018, 19, 20, 21. These are the verbatim words that I said, transcribed, and put into a book. The reason we did that is we recognize the written word lasts forever. The electronic word may not. So there may come a time when you lose your electronics and you can't listen, you can't use your phone, can't use your computer, can't use whatever, but you can always read. So we put these flatline shows into transcripts for you. So when it comes time, you can open them and read them. And every one we've done since 2018 is printed, all printed in a nice book for you. And all you have to do is ask. Everything's free. We don't sell anything. Unlike some ministries, we don't try to justify it by saying we're just trying to pay for the cost of postage, brother. We're not doing that. We know if God's in it, God will pay for it. It's always been our faith that we operate upon that style. And so if you want it, just write and ask for it, and it'll come to you. So please consider that. We also have tons of bookmarks that you can put in your Bible to remind you of certain promises on the flat line. We also have all sorts of material available for you. I'm trying to think what else we have available on the website. It's just all sorts of stuff. So anyhow, take a look at it. And if you want to order something, go ahead and give us an order. Drop us a note, rickhughesministries.org. If you need to call us, you can do that at 800-831-0718. Let me remind you of something, please. I'm not a counselor. I'm not here to tell you how to handle your children. I'm not here to tell you how to handle your marriage. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says about your very own personal spiritual life. If you need a counselor, find somebody that's trained in that. That's not me. I'm an evangelist, and I'm looking for those of you that are hungry to grow, hungry to learn God's Word, and willing to get with the program. Now, here we go. I want to talk to you today about the road to ruin. The road to ruin. And we have to start off with understanding there's always rules. Rules, and then rebellion, and then ruin. The three R's. Not writing, reading, and arithmetic. Rules, rebellion, and ruin. You know, as we watch our country descend into chaos, it's pretty apparent that unless something calls us back to order, Unless something brings resolution to the many grievances that citizens are expressing, we're not going to survive the seismic shift that's causing hatred and animosity across this great nation. The one stabilizing factor that steadies that ship and calms the storm is always authority. There has to be authority, and that establishes the rules we live under. Without authority, there's no rules, and that authority represents the power, and the power is what politicians fight to control. Whoever has the authority sets the rules, right? So it's clear that the rules exist for everybody, but not everybody is willing to play by the rules. You know that. The privileged think the rules don't really apply to them since they have the money and the power. So, did you know that God also has rules? God also has rules? Let me go and show you here some of the first rules ever given by God. The first rule I could find in the Bible that God instituted was given in Genesis 2:15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That's his job. Work it, take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if you eat from it, you will certainly die." That was a rule. Anything in here you can eat, it's all wonderful. And you're a vegan, you can have all these wonderful foods, but do not eat anything from that tree. Well, it's evident that Adam and Eve violated the rule of law. And it's evident that the result is now we are all born under condemnation due to Adam and Eve's violation of that rule. Romans 5:12 tells us this. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, that's spiritual death, in this way, death came to all people because all have sinned. We're all related to Adam. We all get Adam's original sin when we're born. It's imputed to us, and we are born spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. That's why we have to be born again or made spiritually alive. And there's only one way to do that. That's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross that he did for us. That's why the Bible says, "He that believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him forever." Now, another rule that every American citizen is under is a rule from God critical for the orderly survival within our very nation. Let me read it to you. Romans 13:1-5. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there are no authorities except that which God has established. The authorities which exist have been established by God, and consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, then be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Wow. I know that's a lot to read, five verses, Romans 13:1-5. Well, let's go back to this first part. Be subject to governing authorities. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. This is not a request. This is a rule. It's a divine mandate for the believers that Paul wrote in the book of Romans. What authorities is he talking about? What does he mean? Be subject to governing authorities. Listen to the next statement. There are no authorities except that which God has established. That which God has established. They're only there because he allowed it. If you were God, I'm going to ask you a serious question. If you were God, would you have appointed this president we have today? If you were God, would you have appointed the president we have today? And of course you're saying, well, if I was God, I wouldn't. You are dead wrong. Don't ever say that. God appointed the president we have today. God allows these people to be in control, and it's always for a reason. And when the Bible says, be subject to the governing authorities, whether you like them or not, you are under their authority. And you're not to violate that authority. If you don't like it, vote them out of office. But you're not allowed to be a rebel without a cause. You're not allowed to sow discord. You're not allowed to do so many crazy things that some people try to do. The authorities are established by God. I'm reading it to you. Listen, there is no authority except that which God has established. You think you could do better than God? You think you could have put the right one in there and everything would have been perfect? God allowed this man to be our president, and it's for a reason. God established it. So, let's go to the next verse. Whoever rebels against the authority God placed is rebelling against God. So, in this case, God sets rules for us to maintain law and order. And no nation can survive without the rule of law and order. And if you break the laws, you are sinning as a Christian. If you break the law, you're sinning as a Christian. So remember that. Now, I know you say the speed limit's 55 and I ran 60. Did I sin? Come on, give me a break. The police don't even enforce that. But if you're on the interstate and the speed limit is 70 and you're running 90, you're going to get a ticket, and rightfully so. But they always are gracious and give you a few miles an hour over the required speed limit to keep up with the flow of traffic. We know that. But rules, when we have rules, privacy, property, rules, those are to maintain order in the nation. And this is one of Satan's big deals. It's to convince rebellious people rules do not apply to them. That's what he likes to do, to convince rebellious people that rules do not apply to them. And so, if the rules don't apply to them, then they can do whatever they want to do. Rebellion occurs when God's rules are ignored. I have a question. Have you been ignoring the rules of God? The arrogant and the inadequate always ignore the rules of God. We call it AI, not artificial intelligence, arrogant and inadequate. They justify why they don't have to play by the rules. And the sad truth is this. Those types wind up self-destructing. Proverbs 1:32 and 33. Gullible people kill themselves because of their turning away. Fools destroy themselves because of their indifference. Verse 33, Proverbs 1, but whoever will listen to me will live without worry, and he will be free from the dread of disaster. It's the fool that rejects God's word, and that is rebellion. Now, if you're going to live by God's rules, you got to learn how to play by the rules. And the first place that starts is at home. The first rule that any child must learn, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. This is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother so that everything may go well with you and you may have a long life on this earth. This is an important commandment with a promise. So here's the rule number one. These verses are God's mandate for children who live under the authority of their parents, whether they like them or not. Obey your parents. That Greek verb is the word pronounced hupakouo, hupakouo, H-U-P-A-K-O-U-O. And it means to heed to conform to, command, or authority. It means to submit. This is the same test that Adam faced. He disobeyed God's authority. And the question is, will you obey the authority that God placed you under? And it's not too bad when they're 7 or 8 or 5 or 6, but when they get to be 15 and 16, they want to set their own rules, and they think this doesn't apply to them any longer. Parents represent the authority of God, and arrogant children justify why they do not have to be obedient to their parents. And this self-justification is the same arrogance, the same trait that Eve used in her decision to disobey God's mandate and go ahead and partake of the fruit that the devil offered her. But no parent is absolutely correct all the time. The command still stands, though, even though they may not be perfect. The rule of home in the law, even in the rule of law in the home, may even be unfair sometimes. And an unfair decision is a good way to learn. Because when your parents or the parents of a teenager make an unfair decision, that decision can be rejected or even respected. Rejection leads in reaction, but respect leads results in response. So let's say a child gets a rule, they don't like it, they're going to sneak out the door, they're going to climb through the window, they're not going to lie about something. They are reacting to the rule of authority, and that's called rebellion. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Well, that's a metaphor for a very horrible death, alone and forgotten, for that person who's in total ruin because of rebellion and not obeying the rules. The Bible speaks of a four-generation curse, and I may have to come back and teach this sometime, a four-generation curse in Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 14. And it comes on any nation whose children disrespect parental authority. Proverbs 30, 11 through 14. Here's verse 11. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. That is straight rebellion. So we have rules, and then we have rebellion. And in that first generation of rebellion, authority is rejected. That moves into the second generation of the four-generation curse, and they become self-righteous. They justify what they do because of their own arrogance. And that takes them into the third generation, where they get locked in arrogance, and they don't see themselves as they really are. They see themselves as they think they are, and then into the fourth generation, where they have inordinate ambition and lust for power. That fourth generation is the most corrupt of all, having accumulated all the sins of the past generations plus their own sins. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be suffering because of that. You can always break out of that if you obey the Word of God. But if you don't obey the Word of God, if you continue to be rebellious towards the Word of God, then you, through four generations, can guarantee the destruction of a free nation. Few people ever recover from total rebellion against their parents. Did you know that? Few people ever recover from total rebellion against their parents. Rebellion to legitimate authority is a pattern of a destructive action in a client nation such as ours. And so we have rules, police, law and order, the principal, the pastor, whoever it is, you're under that authority, your parent, and you can't handle that authority, you don't like that authority. You rebel against that authority, you're ruining your life. Rebellion to legitimate authority is a pattern of destructive action in a client nation, just like ours. So the middle attitude of resentment of authority will ripen eventually into open rebellion. And that rebellion is fueled today and encouraged today by social media misfits who appeal to lonely, confused people, especially lonely and confused teenagers. So from rebellion comes ruin. Any believer who gravitates to a life of fulfillment of lust and arrogance has used their free will to ruin their lives. Young people who resist the authority of their parents have developed a habit which will eventually destroy his or her life. Proverbs 19:3, a person's own folly ruins his life, and yet his heart rages against the Lord. So the rebellion leads to ruin. Again, a person's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. It's very typical for a fool to blame God for his own misery and his own bad decisions and the consequent discipline he's under from the Lord. Here's something you might not be aware of. Rules for believers in marriage or in a business partnership. I've seen that. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? This is telling you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not marry an unbeliever. This is telling you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not go into a partnership with an unbeliever. That's what it's telling you. Without understanding these rules, you will ruin your life before you even are finished living it. Because the rebellious rule breaker is a worthless person. He has no respect for any authority, and this results in a soul scarred up with scar tissue. Proverbs 10, 8 and 9, the wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. One who walks in integrity will walk securely, but one who perverts his ways will be found out. So the wise heart will receive mandates, rules, but a babbling fool, the rebellious person, will come to ruin. Now listen, it's never too late to recover from your rebellious attitude. It's never too late to recover from your ruinous lifestyle. You may ask yourself, would God actually forgive me for all the rebellion that I've committed? Well, the answer is yes. I mean, look, take a deep breath. Are you still alive? You say, well, you don't know where I am. I'm in a broken home, a broken marriage. I'm incarcerated, whatever. You're still alive, aren't you? I mean, if God was through with you, you would be a greasy spot. You're not. You're alive. You're here. Can God forgive you for the rebellion you've committed? Yes. Yes. But you must recognize the source of your misery. He did not abandon you. You walked away from Him. And the source of your misery is your very own volition. Volition. God gave you volition. You must choose who you want to obey. You are tempted to disobey God by the world, the flesh, and the devil. The lure of the world is a very strong lure because it tells you that happiness is dependent upon people and circumstances. It's very hard to ignore that attraction. And then the flesh tells you that the happiness depends on fulfilling the desires of your flesh. And not everybody has the same lust pattern. Some people lust for sex. Some people lust for money. Some people lust for power. Some people lust for just attention. We have lust patterns of the flesh. We have the lure of the world. And then we have the evil of Satan and his main way of thinking is a liar. He's a liar. He will lie to you. He will tell you something that's not true. And so listen, if you can possibly admit your rebellion to God's rules, then you need to do exactly what David did in the Bible. David was a mighty man of God, a king that God ordained and put in power. And he made a horrible mistake. He fornicated with Bathsheba, another man's wife. He eventually had that man put to death in combat and tried to cover up what happened to him. And it was a horrible thing. In Psalm 32, 1 through 5, he finally comes clean with God. He knows he can't hide it from God, and you can't hide your rebellion from God either. God knows what you did. So here's how you deal with it. Psalm 32, 1 through 5. How blessed is he whose wrongdoings are forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the person whose guilt the Lord does not take into account, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sins, my body wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, that's discipline. My vitality failed as with the dry heat of summer. But I did acknowledge my sin to you. I did not hide my guilt from you. I said I will confess my sins and my wrongdoings to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. One of the bad things about ruin is guilt. A lot of people have a hard time living with guilt. The guilt of what they've done and looking back and so ashamed of it. You don't have to live that way. Don't do that. That's just what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to feel sorry for yourself. So you made a mistake. So you did something dumb and stupid. You're not the first person that's ever done that. Go to God if you're a Christian and admit your sin. This is the first problem-solving device called rebound. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That will allow the Holy Spirit to gain control of your life and help you subdue the lust of the flesh, to help you overcome the lure of the world and help you see the lies of Satan. So if you'll stay filled with the Holy Spirit, you have a chance to actually glorify God with your life. You may have done something in the past that where you broke the rules and you got into rebellion and now your life is in ruin. You think, can I glorify God now? Yes, you can. You can glorify God in prison. You can glorify God in a divorce. You can glorify God in an addiction if you admit your sin and turn away from it. Nobody can do it for you. You have a volition. You have to choose. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, the Bible says. You are a product of your volition, your decision-making process. And this passage I just read to you in Psalm 32, 1 through 5, is for God, it's for the Christian who's under divine discipline. Now, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not a Christian, there's only one solution. That solution is to go to God and tell Him you wish to be saved and that you're willing to receive Christ as your Savior. It's a simple act of faith, and it will seal your eternal destiny, and it will open the door to all of God's assets for you in time. Living life in the devil's world requires some spiritual provisions, and they are readily available to believers. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in His name. That's a wonderful asset. As a child of God, you have all those imputed blessings to you, and you can live the life you should have lived to start with. Have you made that decision? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If not, I encourage you, I beg you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply go to God in prayer and tell Him you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior. You believe He died on the cross for your sin, and you're willing to put your faith in Him. The words are not important, but it's the attitude of your heart that's important. Do you believe Christ died for you? Then tell God, yes, I believe, and I'm willing to receive Him as my Savior. Have you learned something today about rules, rebellion, and ruin? That's what we're facing in this country. I pray this has encouraged you. I pray this has given you some insight to understand what's happening. So until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, here on the Flatline, inviting you to come back same time, same channel, same city, and let us know if you're listening. Drop us a note and say, hey, we hear you loud and clear in our city. Because our contracts are coming up and we have to reorganize our contracts. So we'd like to know who's listening. So thank you. Appreciate you being here. I pray God would bless you today. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to the Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. Every Sunday morning, same time, same place, we're right here. This is show number 895. 895 different radio shows, Flatline shows, presented to you in the last 15 years. And I hope we're able to make 1,000 here pretty soon. Thank you for listening. Let me remind you that as we come up for new contracts, we would love to know if you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. Not asking for money. We're just asking to say yes. I listen to you in my city, and yes, I do listen on my radio station. That helps us know what we've got to do when we come time to sign the new contracts. And if you want to get any of the material that we offer free of charge, all you got to do is go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. There you find all sorts of books that we've written and make available free of charge, as well as all the radio transcripts from the past year's shows from 2019, 2020, 2021, so that's 52 radio shows a year, and it's in printed form so you can read them. So it's up to you if you want them. Just get in touch with us. You can always call us at 800-831-0718. But we're not counselors. I'm not a counselor. I'm an evangelist. My job is to give you the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's provided for you, and to point you in the direction of a well-qualified pastor. That's my job, and I hope that's what I'm able to do. So thank you for listening, and thank you for praying for me as we go through these times. I want to talk to you something about something today that's pretty critical, pretty different, pretty unique. And that is the fact that we are a peculiar people. If you're a Christian, you're really a peculiar person. Because we have a distinctive character. Christians have a different set of values. We have a different mindset, and we have a particular calling. This means that you and I don't think like the world thinks, and we don't act like the world acts. If you add to this our mission on earth, and you have a person much different from the unbeliever, did you hear me? If you add to this our mission on this earth, you have a person much different from the unbeliever. So we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a different modus operandi, a method of operation, which is the reflection of God's standards in our lives. It's like having a big target on your back, I promise you. It's like having a giant target on your back. We're not called to blend in, nope. We're called to stand out. And not like some self-righteous legalist looking down our nose and judging those that we disagree with, but rather to love anyone just like God loved us, but never, ever endorsing sin or depravity. This is how it all starts. If you're going to be a peculiar person, it starts with a second birth, or it starts with you and me being born again. What does that mean? Well, in John 3:6, Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to have two birthdays. Now, my birthday is in August. I don't know when yours is, but we like to celebrate birthdays. So people get around, get a cake, sing happy birthday, and you celebrate another year down the road. But the second birthday is a spiritual birthday. And it doesn't always have to be known. I mean, you can know the day you accepted Christ, or maybe not. I remember the day I did it, 17 August 1967. And that was the day I was born again. That's the day I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:50, "Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood," that's the first birth, "cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither does corruption inherit incorruption." So if all you've had is birth one, a physical birthday, you know, it's a boy, have a cigar, if that's all you got, then you're not going to heaven. Our distinctive character that I'm talking about comes from this unique birth. See, our bodies of flesh and blood are infected with a cancer. It's called Adam's original sin. In Romans 5:12, the Bible says, "Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and death is passed unto all men, for that all have sinned." Our Lord explained it to a Pharisee named Nicodemus in this manner. He said in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then in John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except one be born of water," that's the first birth, "and of the Spirit," that's the second birth, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So this gives us a principle we need to remember. No natural-born person can enter heaven, born of water. If that's all you've got, just born of water, your mother's water births, and you showed up, you're not going to heaven until you have the second birth. And the second birth is your dead human spirit being made alive by the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. How does that occur? Well, it occurs by an act of faith, and is provided by God's grace. The Bible says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one should glory." So this new birth, this second birth, the second birthday, requires a new way of thinking, a new way of living, all of which must be learned starting with the way we think. So once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to change the way you think. You've been thinking in terms of human viewpoint in the past. Now you have to think in terms of divine viewpoint. Here's what the Bible says again, Romans 12:1-3. "I request to you quit thinking, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not fashioned according to this world." In other words, don't think like this world thinks. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind," changing your mind, the way you think, so that, purpose clause, you will be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And listen carefully to verse 3. For I say through the grace that was given to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's arrogance. But so to think as to think soberly, that's humility, according as God hath dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. The number one enemy that you face in your life is your own arrogance. Self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption all lead to self-destruction. And the person who is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ may try to justify why he should go to heaven. And he will get that opportunity at the great white throne of judgment. He will be allowed to stand before God as the books are opened, and all the books of his works will be manifest. However, the Bible says there are none that are good, no, not one, because all of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. So in spite of how good he was, in spite of how generous he was, in spite of how noble he was, he will die and go to the lake of fire because he did not have the second birth. So this charge that I gave you requires you change how you think. For example, you must learn how to respond to unfair circumstances and not react to unfair circumstances. Responding requires thought, and reacting means you get emotional. And then emotions take over and control your thoughts. So anytime something questionable or bad or interrupting happens in your life, you can respond by using the problem-solving devices like faith rest drill. Or you can react by getting out of fellowship with God, getting mad, blowing your temper, cursing everybody out, yelling and screaming and making an idiot out of yourself. Emotions will destroy you if you don't learn to control them. And so God's way of thinking is that you have to have some humility. And that's responding to authority, whether the authority is fair or not fair. We live in a day when authority is not necessarily fair. How do you handle it? Do you get mad? Do you get angry? Or do you respond using the problem-solving devices? Using the faith rest drill? Using biblical orientation? What does the Bible say? Romans 13. And then having impersonal love for all mankind. So if you're going to respond to adverse, difficult situations, this is what Philippians 2:5 says you need, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what we label as divine viewpoint. It's thinking with biblical wisdom, which gives understanding, insight, as well as discernment. But first, you must understand who and what we are. Then we learn what provisions God gave us to deal with in these times. So who are we, what are we, and what has God given to us if we are actually this peculiar people I'm talking about? Well, the Apostle Paul admitted this. He admitted that he had a struggle with his sinful nature. In Romans 7:15, he says these words, "For that which I do, I know not. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." The word do is there three times, and all three times are different words in the Greek language. That's amazing. That little two-letter word, do, is three different words, krosso, poio, and katergatsomai. Three different words. And what he's saying is, the things that I do, I don't want to do them. What I want to do, I'm not doing. What I hate, that's the thing that I keep doing. That's the sin nature. And so he says in verse 16 of Romans 7, "If then I do which I don't want to do, I consent to the law, and the law is good." In other words, the law shows me that I'm wrong. "So now then, it's no longer I that do it, but sin dwelling in me." That's the cancer in you. "For I know that in me," that's in my flesh, "dwells no good thing." That's why the flesh can't go to heaven. You got to have a second birth. "For to will is present." I don't want to do good, bad, he says. "To will is present with me, but how to perform that, I don't understand. For the good that I'd like to do, I don't do, but the evil which I don't want to do, that's the things that I do." Verse 20. "Now if I do those things which I don't want to do, it's no more me that does it, but sin that dwells in me." Sin nature, volition, put them together. Put together your sin nature plus your volition equals failure. Your sin nature plus your volition equals failure. If you respond to sin and say, yes, I will do that, you're going to break fellowship with God and you're going to fail. So this is part of the problem with a particular race of people known as Christians. We have the potential for failure. We can fail very easily. But that's why you have a flatline in your soul. And that's why rebound gives you the ability to overcome the slavery to your sin nature. You don't have to be addicted to any sin, regardless of what it might be. And there's a lot of them I could mention. I don't know what your particular sin is. I don't know the sin that you keep going back to. But if you're addicted to it, you're not going to be able to quit sinning for the rest of your life. No one has that ability. But anyone who has accepted Christ as Savior has a way to deal with the sin and deal with the times that we fail by committing personal sin. I mean, even King David in the Old Testament had to deal with his personal sin. Listen to what he wrote in Psalm 42. 42, 4 and 5 of the book of Psalm. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. The sap of my soul was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. That's the same as 1 John 1:9 for us. He recovered fellowship with God by confessing his sin and not hiding it. When you sin, the worst thing you could do is act like you didn't do it, to try to hide it from God, to try to cover it up. It doesn't work. It's like you trying to go into some store and steal something, stick it under your shirt and walk out with it and you get caught. You're not going to get away with it with God. But listen, God doesn't hold grudges. But I will promise you this, his justice will correct you when you fail to acknowledge your sin through rebound. That correction comes by warning discipline, intense discipline, and eventually could be dying discipline. So God's not going to let you get away with sin, because the Bible says if we're his child, he will discipline us, Hebrews 12. So our values, those things that we live by, those things that we make dear, those things we hold up in front of us, they make us very vulnerable to criticism and complaints from the lost man. What is your mindset? Paul wrote it in Philippians 1:21. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. Now, with that kind of attitude, you're going to be very vulnerable to criticism by people that don't understand that. Because the average unbeliever fears the unknown of death, whereas you have the assurance of a bodily resurrection. You will be resurrected from the grave, you will have a resurrection body, and you will live forever in a body minus the cancer of the sin nature. No more sin nature. And you will be face to face with your Heavenly Father. In Philippians 4:12, Paul talks about how he lives. Listen to what he said about his lifestyle, and this is what makes people criticize us or complain about us. I know how to be abased, and I know how to have abounding, luxury, wealth. Everywhere and in everything, I'm instructed both to be full and even to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So here's two significant statements. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And Ephesians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No wonder you're vulnerable to criticism and complaint, because you don't think like the world thinks. And when they look at you in this idiotic faith lifestyle you live, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ can guide you and uphold you and strengthen you, they're going to complain and criticize about you. You know, the unbeliever fears death. That's true. He doesn't understand it. But the mature believer, which I hope is you, uses all of these 10 unique problem-solving devices called a flatline to overcome adversity and overcome stress, things that are related to worry and insecurity. You can have victory over that. You can overcome that. How? By using grace orientation, biblical orientation, having a personal sense of destiny, having a personal love for God, sharing the happiness of God, occupation with Christ, all these doctrines that we talk about on the flatline. So your message to the unbeliever seems to make you crazy. They take a look at you and say, man, that's a religious nut. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are saved, it's the power of God. Yeah, they think you're foolish. I mean, they make fun of them, and you know, that's your Savior, died on a cross, bled to death, hung on a tree. How could that be God? Well, when he walked out of the grave, he proved he was God. They all thought he was dead, but he wasn't. He walked out of the grave alive. He's alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he awaits the shouted order to return and pick you and I up. He's coming back, and we will go back with him. So we can overcome these adversities and stress-related sins in our life by using the flatline. Again, Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Doesn't make any difference. I can do anything, all things, everything through Christ who strengthens me. So, again, your message to the unbeliever makes them think you're crazy. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. There's the word, foolishness, to those who perish. They may say, you're telling me that all I've got to do to go to heaven is to believe in Christ? Well, what about, don't I have to work for it? Don't I have to be good? Don't I have to quit sinning? Don't I have to join the church? Don't I have to get baptized? Don't I have to do this or that or the other thing? No. The power of the cross has been accomplished already. Christ died for my sins and your sins already. I can't go to God and make it any more forgiving. It's already forgiven, already done. I can only come to Christ, and through Christ, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. So what's unique about God is you don't have to be a genius to work for him. Aren't you glad? You don't have to be a genius to work for God. I can go amen to that. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see in your calling, brethren, how not many wise men, according to the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Isn't that amazing? That way God gets the credit. God can take the simple-minded, simple person and make a biblical hero out of him. And that's what God can do for you. God can use you. You don't have to be an IQ genius. You don't have to have a PhD in theology for God to use you. When I got saved, I didn't have a college degree. I still don't have a college degree. But I have been in the ministry for 54 years. I have spoken in thousands of high schools and done hundreds of radio shows and been in hundreds of churches. God took a big idiot like me, and when I learned his plan, got under my pastor, started studying the Word of God, and learned his plan, then he gave me a venue to teach that plan. And part of the venue is what you're listening to today. It's called the Flatline. The only reason I have a radio show is because I know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to manipulate you. Not trying to appeal to your emotions. Not trying to do run around a circle with you. I'm just teaching you straight up what the Bible says. Your destiny is beyond what the unbeliever can even comprehend. He cannot even comprehend what awaits you. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor hath the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Wow. That's your destiny. No one's seen it. No one's heard it. You're going to see colors you never saw. You're going to hear sounds you never heard. You're going to see the most amazing things when you get face to face with God. When you come into your eternal life, it will be something you've never experienced before. Not even close. You don't realize it right now, but you're living in a sewer. And when you get to heaven, if God said, you want to go back to earth and stay a few more years, you're going to say, no way. I don't want to go back to that sewer. It's an amazing thing. So our uniqueness makes us peculiar. It's in our position. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Colossians 1:27, to them God would make known what are the riches of his glory. Of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ lives in you. He's the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament, and your body is now the temple to the Holy Spirit, and Christ lives in you. So what's unique about us is our position. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And then our uniqueness lies in the power we have. Ephesians 1:17, I pray that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, with the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you will know what is the confidence of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You will know things that other people don't know. That's the power that comes from being a believer, the power that comes from learning God's Word. It's called the spirit of wisdom and revelation through the knowledge of Him. And the eyes of your understanding will be opened up and you will see things. Our uniqueness lies in our prayer life. Ephesians 6:18, praying always, with all prayer, all supplication, in the Spirit, not out of fellowship, in the Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for every member of the family of God. Our uniqueness lies in the provisions that God has given to us. Take unto you the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:11, so that you will be able to stand against the strategy of the devil. God has given you wonderful provisions. God has given you everything you need, the armor of God, the belt plate of righteousness, the breast of truth, the shield of faith. All of these are major Bible doctrines you must learn, you must understand. You must take advantage of what God has equipped you to do and how God has prepared you. These are provisions God gave to you. I just gave you one verse, 6:11, Ephesians 6:11. But read it, 6:11 through 17, and you'll see everything He gives you in the forms of a military metaphor that Paul used. So the unbeliever, the disadvantaged person, I call it, he or she has no insight, no discernment into the way that Satan manipulates them, our satanic strategy. But I can tell you this, the number one satanic strategy in the world is organized religion. Why? Because it gives a false sense of security in regard to future events. Religion is the narcotic that deadens the mind of the non-Christian. And we understand from the Bible that Satan's major objective is twofold, to blind the mind of the unbeliever, so he won't accept Christ. And if they do believe in Christ, to hinder their function and execution of the protocol plan of God. In other words, to distract you in every way possible and keep you from ever making the Word of God your number one priority in your life. So he does it by establishing a system of religion in which the works of mankind replace the function and the mechanics of the grace of God. So he hides the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, if our gospel has been veiled, it's hidden, are veiled to those that are going to perish, in whose case the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the thinking of those who are unbelievers, so they won't see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. That's what he does. He puts blinders on the unbeliever. But you and I are protected in two different sources, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, John 14:26, called the Comforter. The Father sends him, Jesus said, in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance the things I've told you. We have that protection from the Holy Spirit and through the living Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As you can understand easily, a mature believer is a very unique individual. Unique advantages of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you and I are set apart, empowered, and guided into the most fantastic life God has provided. And that's you having a flight line in your soul. If you never grow to spiritual maturity, you'll never understand this. You'll always be at a severe disadvantage in the devil's world. I want you to understand you will miss out on the generous blessings that God offers you if you don't grow to spiritual maturity. And those blessings are found in eternity in Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:10, Revelation 2:17, Revelation 2:28, Revelation 3:5, Revelation 3:12, Revelation 3:21. I didn't read them. I don't have time. You can take your Bible and read Revelation 2 and 3 and see the blessings God has for you in eternity. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. I poured out my heart to you. I hope it's challenging you today. This is your host, Rick Hughes, host of The Flight Line, hoping to hear from you, and you'll come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Flight Line with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.com. KCNR.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.